All righty, I got a chance to see Coach Smetzer on Friday night. A wonderful, wonderful Rave Foundation auction and banquet they put on. Good to see you again on Friday. Coach, how are you?
Yeah, Dick, it was great. Thanks for helping out. Thanks for helping Rave. Thanks for helping us, you know, collect a lot of money for a really good cause. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I enjoy working with Ashley Fosberg and the Rave Foundation. I'll come back year after year. And it's just amazing. And Jackson and I were talking about it earlier. I mean, 26 pitches in the Seattle area by 2026. I mean, that is a lofty goal. But you know what? If we keep raising the type of money we did on Friday, they're going to get there.
Yeah, I mean, there were some heavy hitters there. There were some mom and pop hitters there. There was everybody's on board. I think our organization is on board. I think it's a fantastic idea because kids these days are glued to their devices. And so having a space to, you know, go out and kick the ball around, I mean, it's perfect.
Absolutely. Brian Schmetzer joining us. And, you know, it was a little, I was getting a little antsy at halftime. I got to be honest. I was down at the Ram. We were down 1-0. I was like, "All right, it's time to get this MLS season started. Let's go, Schmetzer." So, what did you say to the guys at halftime that woke them up? Got three goals in that second half.
Well, look, the story of that game for you know those of us with a short memory was that was the first time that group or a lot of that group played since the final. So we talked about that Dallas game that we had to go to 2 days after the final, but that was a mixed squad. And then we had the Open Cup, which was a mixed squad. So the guys hadn't played in 11 days, and they still had to overcome that emotional, you know, high and, you know, then getting back to work. And, you know, they were a little rusty. So I kind of kicked the tires a little bit, just got them out of their doldrums and said, it's okay, we're going to score. And, you know, true to my word or their word, we knew we were going to get on the score sheet, and we ended up with three.
Yep. Coach, it's Jackson here. And fittingly, in the 74th minute, Christian Roldan hits a ball from 22 yards out. That's what's known in the soccer world as a banger. I was looking at a stat that you guys have hit something like four from outside of 20 yards in the last calendar year. And three of them have come against Minnesota. What is it about Minnesota where you guys and your players just happen to constantly hit these bangers?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, JP a little earlier this year, Christian. I mean, I'd prefer to talk to Christian about Christian's goal because that wasn't an easy shot to make. That technique of he's kind of running away from goal a little bit and he's got to get his foot around it and right in the upper corner. I mean, that was a tough shot. It was a great shot. It was a well-deserved goal because I think we're getting on top of him. But credit goes to Christian. I mean, he's just a fantastic player and has been doing this sort of stuff for us for many, many years.
And a great shot in the Seattle Times of Christian just leaping in the air with, you know, fist pumping. That was a really cool still image on that one. And Christian's actually going to join Jackson on Sounders Weekly tonight at 7:30. So Sounders fans, tune in for that. And then the PK coach, I was actually coming home, so I was now listening to that your comeback on the radio. And, you know, Nico's been perfect at PKs, and Rui Diaz ends up taking it, and it sounded like it was being explained that was kind of Nico's call to kind of let Rui Diaz take that, or is that your call?
No, those guys are good buddies, and, you know, Nico had taken a lot of penalties. Look, Raul has taken a ton of penalties for us in years past, so those guys just on the field, they kind of feel the way the game's going. If one guy feels confident and, you know, this guy's going to step up, and I let those guys solve it. I really haven't in my six plus years really had to designate officially. I mean, the guys kind of know who I want to be up there. And if they want to hand it off to Raul, I thought that was a class gesture by Nico to get Raul on the score sheet. Mm-hmm. And Raul did the job.
One of the big discussion points on the pre-match show, Coach, was Joao Paulo's now out for the year with the ACL, and this was the big chance now for Obed Vargas to slot in and be the guy next to Albert Rusnak. How did you think he did in his performance?
He did okay. So after he took the yellow card early in the game, I think he was a little tentative, and we talked about that. He and I talked about that. You know, I know the other guys went over some film with him. He's still young. He's 16, so I'm going to set some expectations here. Look, he's not going to replace JP. JP, you know, is a all-star candidate and, you know, league MVP candidate. So we'll do it with Obed, you know, Josh Atencio, Kellen Rowe, Danny Leyva. We'll figure something out, and then, you know, things don't work in the summer and we have to go somewhere else to get a replacement. I'm sure the club's prepared to do that as well.
What's that like within the team with a 16-year-old? Because I can't even imagine what it would be like in, like, a baseball clubhouse. I mean, it would be like the worst hazing ever if there was a 16-year-old playing Major League Baseball. But what's it like with men and then with a boy in the locker room?
Yeah, Dick, I can't. I don't know what you were doing at age 16, but I know I wasn't, you know, in a locker room playing professional ball with, you know, guys that are right at the top of their game.
I was playing JV basketball, I mean, is what I was doing at 16.
Yeah. So look, the senior guys on this roster have always been good. They've always been good about helping some of the young guys. We've had a lot of academy kids come through, but that's training. You know, that's maybe in preseason we invite them along, or that's in, you know, some of the training sessions throughout the summer. This is money time. I mean, we're playing to win games, and Obed has held his own. I think he's obviously got a lot of growth still left in him, but for now, I don't think he's afraid of the moment. Mm-hmm. He'll have some ups and downs, but you know, he's a good athlete, and he's got a good soccer head on his shoulders. So I'm just keep my fingers crossed, and we'll help him along the way. And if other guys need to, again, get a little opportunity, we'll make that happen as well, because it is a long season still, and it's a condensed season, so we'll need everybody.
Sounders FC head coach Brian Schmetzer with us here on 93.3 KJR-FM. And Coach, before we move on and look ahead to Houston coming up tomorrow and then Colorado on Sunday as well, both on the road, really quickly, last Wednesday you guys played in the U.S. Open Cup, unfortunately eliminated there by San Jose, but there was a penalty kick shootout that went 11 rounds, all the way to seeing the goalkeepers come up and actually take shots. Have you ever been part of a penalty kick shootout that went 11 rounds?
Actually, you know what? I got to think about that, Jackson. What was 2005 like? Didn't Preston Burpo come up with a save? Maybe I have, you know, I didn't think about that. Somebody else asked me the question, and I didn't remember, but maybe 2005, our first championship with the USL team. You'd have to look that up.
He's looking right now. I'll ask you while he looks that up. I'll ask you one more about the Minnesota game, and I'm kind of wondering as I'm watching Minnesota furiously try to come back after you guys had erased their 1-0 lead and you were up 2-1, and I was kind of thinking, all right, what's more stressful for Brian Schmetzer, trying to hold on to a 2-1 lead as you're getting bombarded in your zone by a frantic team trying to even it up, or is it more stressful to be down and be the team that's trying to bombard the other team to get the tying goal?
I almost think that trying to hold a lead, a precarious lead, is a little more stressful. Look, if you're behind, you're pissed, you're angry, you're upset, you know, you're trying to figure out ways how to get yourself out of those types of feelings. You know, there is a little anxiety, and, you know, Nico closed the game out there at the end, 3-1, rightfully so. But there were some nervy moments. You know, we needed to maybe do a little bit better job keeping possession there at the end. And, again, those were things that we addressed in our film review, and we'll keep trying to get better.
Well, I'm in the process of trying to find how far Burpo went in a penalty kick shootout.
I don't know if Preston did it. I think their goalkeeper was like number 8 or 9 or something. Maybe Preston didn't take it, J- Jackson. Yeah. I'm not sure.
I'm seeing one that went seven rounds, but I'll have to do some deeper research there. Maybe consult some other reporters.
Okay.
Brian Schmetzer.
I don't remember. How about I'll give you the answer. I don't remember if I've ever been involved in 11 penalty kick shootout before. I don't remember.
Well, that was absolutely crazy. Well, looking at the week ahead, Coach, you have the road match against Houston there tomorrow and then at Colorado there on Sunday. Two big Western Conference matches against teams kind of in the middle of the table. How do you look at this week ahead? What's the travel plans for the club? You know, just overall thoughts on the next number of days for the club.
Yeah, well, we got here in beautiful Houston, Texas, you know, about an hour ago. So we're here and prepared. We'll fly back with our charter plane after the game and then head out to Denver the day before the game as well. That's kind of our standard operating procedure. But two good teams. Houston has improved a lot since last year. I got to give a shout out to Paulo Nagamura, the new coach. Sometimes teams take on the personalities of their coaches. And Paulo was a very good MLS player for many years. He's got a little bite to him. He was always aggressive. So they're playing like their head coach. And then obviously Colorado was, you know, number one in our division last year, snuck by us there the last week or two of the regular season. So a couple of hard games, and we know it's hard to win on the road, but we'll get the guys prepared and see if we can't at least collect something out of these next two games.
Well, Coach, a decade or so ago, a guy named David Beckham came to the MLS when the MLS was certainly a much smaller, less recognized, less popular league. Now the league is much bigger, much more popular, and you've got at least a rumor, a report, I will say. We don't have any confirmation yet, but a report that Lionel Messi is going to be part owner of Miami and play in the MLS. What are your first thoughts on that one?
It's crazy. I mean, it's nuts to think that Lionel Messi is going to play in MLS. But you know what? I don't discredit it. I mean, it's a rumor for now. But you know, he's earned the right to pretty much pick and choose what he wants to do at the end of his career. And if he wants to come to MLS, and I mean, I think 35%. I think that's a generous offer. I mean, I know he's the best player ever. I mean, you could sit there and say, okay, Ronaldo might be, him and Messi are the two best, but you know, I mean, that's a pretty good salary, because MLS franchises are going through the roof as far as their value is concerned. So let's see if how it all pans out. There have been a lot of other rumors about other big stars coming to the league, so let's pump the brakes a little bit. Let's see what happens.
Well, let's play in fantasy land for a moment. Let's just throw a hypothetical. Let's just play in this fantasy world where it's, I don't know, September of 2023, and then you guys are battling for the top spot in the Western Conference, going down to face Miami in Miami, and you're lining up Nuhu against Messi. What sort of guidance is Nuhu getting on facing the best ever?
I'd put my money on Nuhu. I mean, he already shut down Mo Salah. So,
there you go.
You know, I'd put my money on Nuhu there. You know, look, the success or not of Lionel Messi, look, he's tremendous, tremendous, tremendous player. But, you know, how motivated is he going to be? How much gas does he have left in the tank? I mean, there's some things that, you know, we would have to see. But certainly it's a great storyline if you could get such a great player to come to MLS.
No question about it. Fun to talk to you. It's good to see you on Friday. And best of luck tomorrow, 5:38. Not 5:30. 5:38 kickoff time tomorrow at PNC Stadium in Houston. And we'll have that on 950 KJR.
Yes.
Correct,
yes.
Jackson? So 950 KJR. And Jackson Feltz has Sounders Weekly tonight at 7:30 with Christian Roldan. Thanks a lot, Coach. Appreciate it.